this morning I'm going to say a bit about working with our inner critic in order to be able to connect with self-metta. And also metta and conditions, the conditions for metta. So there'll be quite an overlap with what Mike Trudevi was talking about yesterday, but that's fine. We know that repetition is good. So I'm going to start by saying a bit about working with the inner critic. And as we're bringing in, emphasizing the insight ways of looking, we're going to be pointing out a number of them that are really helpful for working with our personal maras. But I'm just going to talk about one of them at this point. And it's really a perspective that we've already been visiting, but I want to point out the insight aspect of it. It's interesting, often people talk about their experience, which shows some insight, but they don't clock it as insight. They don't recognize it as insight. Sometimes I think that's because we think of insight as a huge, big thing, a long way away. So someone was talking about a recognition of not being able to control it all, for instance, which is definitely massively an aspect of insight, insight into conditionality, insight into emptiness of self. And another one which we might not recognize as insight is the knowing and seeing that others feel this. Whatever our experience is, painful or beautiful, it's human experience and others feel something like this. So in the morning puja, in the first verse it says this. Trudevi, have you got it there? Can you just read that little bit?
Like me, each longs for happiness. Like me, each longs for freedom from pain. Like me, each longs for peace and contentment.
Thank you. So this is the insight of the First Noble Truth. It is an insight. Really knowing that. And of course, the practice for this is Tonglen. And some people will be familiar with Tonglen. It's a practice where you connect with your own experience and use that as a bridge for empathy and imagination, for making others' experience more real to us. And we can also bring that into metta bhavana. We don't have to do it as a separate practice. We can bring that in, that knowing that others feel this, that connecting vividly, connecting with our own experience, and then taking that step to know others feel this. And we'll do some practice with this later on. So what I find really interesting about this is that when we're in touch with our own experience, whether that's joyful or pleasurable or painful, it's very vivid. And then the reality of others' experience can come more vivid. It's nothing like being right in the middle of something, some physical pain, some anguish, some joy. It's vivid. But what's interesting about when we're suffering is that wrapped up in that experience of dukkha is a sense of isolation. Somehow there is the illusion that we're on our own with that experience. We might know on a head level that others experience something like this, but often there's not a knowing of that in the deeper level, in the gut and in the heart. And so we feel on our own, and that isolation is part of the dukkha. And then dukkha arises with craving and aversion. That all arises with a contraction in the body. And that contracting, that tightening in the body, it's really interesting to watch what that does to our sense of self. It's almost like it brings a sense of solidity. And in that sense of solidity, we feel more, we feel disconnected, we feel that we're here, other is there. So when we really bring in that knowing of others feeling this, it can really, can bring compassion, but it can also lessen our own suffering, because it takes away that aspect of feeling isolated and brings that aspect of solidarity, which Maitri Devi was talking about, that sense of being alongside others. And then there's the just a little step from that is then we know it as dukkha. We know it as something universal. It's part of the human condition. And as for other beings, non-human beings, we don't know what their emotional experience is. We do know that they have emotional experience, which used to be denied by scientists. But we certainly know that this dukkha is part of the human experience. And so when we really know that, know it as something universal, something it counteracts that contraction. It's a sense of a bigger view. And in that, less of an identification with it. Sense of it belonging to me. So this is what we're going to be moving towards very much in that, especially in the next phase. Sense of experiences arising doesn't belong to me, arises out of conditions. And this can really, really loosen suffering. So all of this we can apply to our inner critic, our personal Mara. A little bit different, unique for everyone, but it's definitely a shared, common human experience, isn't it? And of course, the Buddha experienced it, and it's really interesting that Mara pops up even after the Buddha's awakening. But then the Buddha is just able to say, I see you, Mara.
After what?
After the Buddha's awakening, Mara still pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And pops up for other practitioners as well. There's a lovely sutta called the Soma Sutta about a nun called Soma. And she has a Mara attack. Mara trying to undermine her confidence in her practice. And she's also able to recognize what is going on. I see you, Mara. So in that I see you, Mara, we are seeing that this is not me. This is a painful perception, arisen out of conditions.